This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In a world filled with chaos and uncertainty, find peace, guidance, inspiration, and wisdom with Abdel Fattah de Yemi's official app. Download the Abdel Fattah de Yemi app now and start your journey to a more meaningful, purpose-driven life. Available for free on the App Store and Google Play. Join the community. Transform your life. Edit your universe.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته Thank you very much. We are all welcome to Ramadan Intelligence Series, part of Bainakum's Tafsir sessions in the month of Ramadan, 1445. We talk about intelligence. People have heard of financial intelligence. You've also heard of emotional intelligence. And the organizers of this tafsir, they came up with Ramadan intelligence, which is very, very intelligent indeed, for us to see how, what are some of the things we can gain from Ramadan in terms of the Quranic verses that should excite the muscles of our intelligence, that should excite the part of our mind with which we think, that will excite some of the wisdom that is latent in us, but the Quran is going to wake them up for us. We want to talk today, as the first of them, Quranic reflection on movement metaphors. What do we mean by this? I need you to follow us gradually, listen with your ears and your mind, and see what we can learn from what we are going to be explaining concerning the metaphors of movement as reflected in the glorious Quran. It might be very useful for a lot of us who are trying to find their bearings in life. It is possible that when you listen to this, your life will not be the same again. Now you begin to see life in a much different light, and you begin to see the glorious Quran as speaking to you so much more directly than you ever imagined. The innate inclination towards movement is a fundamental aspect of life. We all know that we like to move, and it is deeply ingrained in our very being. And this also lies at the heart of human existence. Everybody needs to move. Everybody wants to move. If a child is born, we expect the child to make some movement. When the child is even in the womb of the mother, we expect some movement, we expect some kicking, we expect some swimming, even when it was still very small. The main aspect of the process of conception has to do with movement. The man has to move, the woman has to move. The coming out of the semen to fertilize has to be through certain movement, rhythmic movement, to the extent that when the life-giving organisms are released, when the spermatozoa are out, they are also supposed to swim. They are to move, swim towards certain goal before fertilization can happen. Now you see it's all about movement, and that is the human existence itself. We are to move, we are to swim, and in one form or the other, we are to fly if we can. And all these are because also humans are organic. That is, humans are animate, humans are living and conscious, and humans are designed to move, we are designed to grope, and we are designed to grow. Humans stand as living manifestation of the organic nature of almost all of Allah's creations. And from the complicated movements of molecules within ourselves to the vast interconnectedness of ecosystems, the biological processes of our very beings are evidences of the organic nature of our existence. In fact, in the first place, we are bio and logical. We are bio, we are organic, we are living, and we are also logical. And that's why we are biological. We are beings that are biological. When we talk about biology, that's what it means, biological. The logical part of our lives are there, and then the bio part of our existence is there. We are not mere machines that are governed by rigid mechanisms, and we are not governed by predetermined algorithms, but rather we are dynamic organisms that are pulsating with the beats of growth, the beats of decay, and the beats of renewal. So we are formed with growth, decay, and renewal. So we are made of different organs. That's why we say we're organic. We are made of different organs. What's an organ? An organ is made up of the same type of tissues that are well organized to perform specific functions in all living things, including plants, animals, birds, insects, reptiles, mammals, humans, all of us. We are all made of organs. And what are these organs? We have the brain. The brain itself is an organ. We have the heart. We have the lungs, the liver, the kidney. Our skin is also an organ on its own. Our anus, the hair follicles in our bodies, the teeth, they are all organs. The colon, the bone marrow, the ears, the stomach via the intestines, the eyes, the spinal cord, the pancreas, skeletal muscles, our veins, our nose, the nails, including our private parts. All of these are organs of the human body. It is these organs coming together that forms what we are. And that's why we humans, we are organic. We are organic. When they say organic food, organic this, organic that, this is what makes us to be organic, because we are a conglomeration of so many organs that come together, that function together. And these organs, because they are all together, that makes us to become organic. That is part of the reason why we are movement. We have movement as part of our nature. In our organic nature, we find both vulnerability and resilience. All of the organs in the body have to walk, they have to move, they have to function, and they have to stay alive. And some of the organs, if we stop using them, Allah will withdraw them from us. For example, if you stop using your eyes, after a while you start getting blind. If you stop using your nose, well, I don't know how you are going to do that. Something bad is going to happen to your nose. If you should block your ears that you don't want to hear anything, after a while you actually start going deaf. If you should fold your legs, you say you are not going to move with it, after a while the muscles become weak and you need special attention of the physiotherapist before you are able to learn to walk again. Now you see why we are organic now. So in this our organic nature, like I said, we find both vulnerability and resilience, like the trees that bend in the face of fierce wind. We are shaped by the forces of nature. We are shaped by adversity. Yet we are capable of adapting. We are capable of flourishing in the most unlikely of all circumstances. As humans, in this our organic essence, this extends beyond our physical demesne. It encompasses the depth of our emotions, the complexities of our thoughts, and the expanses of our consciousness. Because we are organic, it is not only in the physical way, but also in the other aspects of our lives. That means we are not merely biological entities, but we are also emotional beings. We are endowed with the capacity for self-awareness, for empathy, and creativity. So in embracing our organic nature, we embrace the impermanence of our existence and the interconnectedness of the pulsating energy that animates us and animates every other thing in the universe. And our ability to move, our ability to take actions, form the essence of what it means to be human, because it touches upon the crescendos of action and reflection. It touches change and continuity. It affects progress and status, as well as the themes of freedom to choose and to act. we can exercise our free will and free want, and we can also pursue meaning and purpose and destiny. All of this shows that apart from the biological side of our lives, we are also emotional. So when we talk about movement in terms of bodily organs, we are also talking about the flux of human emotion. The fact that human free will is also part of the strength that we have as human beings. This strength to move, the strength to decide, the strength to be empathetic, and the strength to take actions. Beyond the biological organs that we have, we also have our mind with which we take action, with which we use these organs that Allah has given to us, with which we pursue meanings of whatever thing we do. It involves moving beyond the constraints of the past towards new horizons of possibility. This is where the sense of pursuit of meaning comes in. Now, there's something very, very significant that we must bear in mind. The way you move, the pace of your stride, the level of your efforts, and the swiftness of your flight, they are all determined by the perception of your condition, by the interpretation of your position, and by the direction of your progression, as well as the nippiness of your decision. That's the quickness of your decision. The Quran is replete of verses, of words and terms that describe and prescribe various human movements through which human beings can measure their progress in the world and in the hereafter. How do we progress in this world? How do we progress in the hereafter? So we'll now mention some of these movements that the Quran has mentioned so as to build our Quranic intelligence from these metaphors of movement in the Quran. The first of them we are going to look at is that of walking. Everybody knows what we mean by walking. The Arabic word for walk is taken from the triliteral root in sorfu, that is mimun, shinun, and yao, mashi. And this occurs 23 times in the glorious Quran in so many ways. Now, what does it mean? All walks of life, Allah says, Quran chapter 24, verse 45, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والله خلق كل دابة من ماء فمنهم من يمشي على بطنه ومنهم من يمشي على رجلين ومنهم من يمشي على أربع يخلق الله ما يشاء إن الله على كل شيء قدير. Allah has created every living creature from water, and of them are those that move on their bellies, and of them are those that walk on two legs, and of them are those that walk on four. Allah creates what He wills. Indeed, Allah is over all things competent. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is capable of doing all things. This verse, Quran chapter 24, verse 45, tells us about all the creatures of Almighty Allah, that Allah has created them to walk. The ones Allah has created to walk, some, you know, they drag on their bellies like the snakes. Some of them walk on two legs, and some of them walk on four legs. Human beings, of course, we are designed to walk on two legs, even though at a very younger age of our existence, we are walking on four. That is when the baby is crawling. And by the time we get up, we begin to walk. And after a while, we begin to use three legs. That is two legs and one walking stick. If Allah spare our lives, may Allah make it easy for us. So that's to show a verse of Quran that talks about the walk, the fact that we have been created and designed to be walking. I also want you to know that there are some other creatures too. They walk in a way that is not common. That is the fish in the water. Their own kind of walking is a form of swimming. Maybe they have internal legs with which they do that, and that has been constricted or designed to be the fins that they use in moving around, you know, swimming in the waters. Now, what do we do when we have something crucial to do with regards to walk? Quran chapter 20 verse 40 illustrates this. Allah says, "If tamshi ukhtuka fatakul hal adullukum ala man yakfulu farajanaka ila ummika kay taqarra aynaha wa la tahzan wa qatalta nafsan fanajaynaka min al-ghammi wa fatannaka futuna falabitha sinina fi ahli madyan ثم جئت على قدر يا موسى. This Quran chapter 20 verse 40, Allah says, and we favored you, O Musa, when your sister went and said, shall I direct you to someone who will be responsible for him? So we restored you to your mother that she might be content and not grieve. And you killed someone, but we saved you from retaliation and tried you with a severe trial. And you remained some years among the people of Madian. Then you came here at the decree time, O Musa. What I want to use here is Allah says, if Tamshi Oktuk, when your sister was walking, what kind of walk was she walking? She was walking a purposeful walk with a crucial plan. And that is when Musa was put in the basket and the sister was told to, you know, follow the basket, follow the basket, follow the little baby till wherever Allah is directing the baby. And this Tamshi gives a sense of a cautious and purposeful and well-planned walking. So much so that people will not quickly notice that you're actually walking in relation to that basket that was put in the river. Allahu Akbar. That box, that little baby that was put in the river, she had her eyes on that baby and she also had her eyes on the road and she was doing that with caution. What we learn from there is if you have a very important mission to fulfill in life, you should be cautious about the way you walk. You should know that you have a sense of purpose. You don't just walk anyhow. You don't walk suspiciously. If not, your plans in life will not work. So anybody that wants to succeed in life, understand that there are certain kind of walking that has to be very purposeful. You don't just walk around. You don't just strut around. Sometimes you walk in such a way that you don't make noise. You walk in such a way that you don't create or stir up some suspicion because of the mission that you have in life. A similar type of walking that the Quran gives as metaphor for us. You see that in Quran chapter 18, verses 19 to 20, in Surah Al-Kahf. Remember the story of Ashabul Kahf. When it got to the time that Allah woke them up, Almighty Allah says in the Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنْهُمْ قَالَ قَائِلُ مِنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ قَالُوا رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ فَابْعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ مِّنْهُ وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا. What I want to use from there is, they asked one of them, when Allah woke them up, they were asking each other, how long have you remained here? They said, well, we remain here a day or a part of the day, even though they were there for so long. And your Lord is most knowing about how long they remain. So they said, send one of you with this silver coin to the city. So let them look to which of the food they can buy so that we can eat, so that it can bring provision for us and we eat. And the statement goes, وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ, let him be cautious. Let him be cautious. وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا, so that nobody will recognize you. This means that sometimes when you have a very important mission in life, you have to do yatalatof. You have to be cautious in your movement. Sometimes you are moving about your business in life, and when it is not time for people to recognize you, you should better hide yourself. You should better do your movement with some calculation that you are not going to expose yourself. Sometimes we run into this error in our social media, the way we handle our publicity. Things you have not achieved yet, you are already showing it to the world. You are supposed to get to where you are going without anybody looking at you. You are supposed to be cautious because you are somebody that's just coming out from a cave. And as you are just coming out from the cave of your existence, you need to be very cautious in letting people know you or see you when it is not time yet. And you see what that Quran verse says is, إِنَّهُمْ إِنْ يَزْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُوكُمْ أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذَا نَبَدًا. Allah Akbar. If they come to know you when it is not time yet, they will stone you or return you to their religion and never again. This is the word the Quran says, وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذَا نَبَدًا, and never will you ever succeed again, ever. So if you have a project, if you have a plan, if you have a business, if you have a progress you want to make in life, sometimes you should better remain, you know, not obvious. Because once people get to know of your plan and your progress, they will kill it if they don't kill you too, alongside with that. And you will never succeed. Walantu flihu idan abada. You will never succeed when people get to know where you are going. So what lesson do we learn from this? We learn that please keep yourself to yourself. Any seed that will germinate should learn to remain under the ground, under the soil. Any seed that will grow should learn to remain not obvious. If not, animals will eat it and humans will uproot it. May Allah make it easy for us to understand this verse very well. So we are still talking about walking. How do you walk on your path of progress in life? Another lesson we can learn from walking as used in the Quran is Quran chapter 25 verse 63. When Allah asks us to walk with humility. Allah says, "Wa ibadur rahman alladhina yamshuna 'alal ardi hauna wa idha khatabahum al-jahilun qalu salama." And the servants of the Most Merciful are those who walk upon the earth easily and with humility. And when the ignorant person addresses them harshly, they say words of peace. They say salam, salam. We are supposed to walk with humility on earth. This is another lesson we learn when it comes to how do we walk on earth. Your efforts and deeds are diverse and they are of different aims and purposes. That's inna sa'yakum lashatta. Our efforts, this is what we are talking about now. You know, we talk about walking earlier on. Now, this one we are talking about the efforts that we make. Our efforts are different. Some people are into this, some people are into that. The way you make effort is different from the way other people make effort. Your effort in one path is not the same thing as the effort on another path. So don't copy other people's effort in life thinking that you are supposed to make the same thing. Another verse of Quran chapter 53. Verses 39 to 41, Allah says, "One laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a wa anna sa'yahu sawfa yura thumma yujzahu li jazaa al awfa." What does that mean? It means there's nothing for anybody to attain in life except what he strives for, and the fruit of your striving will soon come in sight. Then Allah will reward everybody to the fullest of reward for whatever thing they do. What does this mean? It means our efforts, Almighty Allah can see it, and there's nothing that you can gain in life except that you make effort. So if you are going to make effort, Almighty Allah says that ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha nudiya lis-salat min yawmil jumu'ah fas'au ila dhikrillah wa dharul bay'a dhalikum khairun lakum in kuntum ta'lamun. If you are going to make effort, you are going to hasten on the path of Almighty Allah, hasten towards the remembrance of Almighty Allah. Now, a person can be walking casually towards certain things, but when it comes to the matters of the hereafter, Almighty Allah says, hasten, make haste. Don't be slow, don't be sluggish. Fas'au ila dhikrillah. When it comes to remembrance of Almighty Allah, Allah used the word sa'yu, make haste towards the remembrance of Allah, because matters of the hereafter, this is the very interesting part of it. When Allah talks about matters of the hereafter, Allah uses the language of making haste for matters of the hereafter. For matters of this dunya, you can walk, do anything you like, anyhow you want to do it. But you are supposed to make haste in matters of the hereafter. And that's what you see there in Quran chapter 62 verse 9. Allah says, "O you believe, when the call is proclaimed to prayer on Jumat, on Friday, hasten earnestly towards the remembrance of Allah and leave off your business and other traffic. That is best for you if indeed you know." And for anybody that makes effort, Allah says in Quran chapter 76 verse 22, "Inna hadha kana lakum jazaan wa kana sa'yukum mashkura." Indeed, this is for you a reward from Almighty Allah, and all your efforts has been appreciated. So if you do what is good and you seek nearness to Almighty Allah and you make the sa'y, you make effort, Allah is going to appreciate whatever effort that you make. Let me summarize what we mean by this. Many of the things we do in life require effort, require actions. And there's nothing we achieve in life without putting some effort behind it. So this shows that it is the striving, making the effort, that is most important. The intention that we have is very important. The struggle that we have is very important. If we're able to take care of all of these, then we are going to get the result and the reward of our effort. So this number two we are talking about, Abu Sayyu, means that we should always make effort so that Allah will crown our efforts with success. And that's why Allah says, "Man ya'mal mithqala dharratin khairan yara, wa man ya'mal mithqala dharratin sharran yara." Anybody who does an atom weight of good shall see the result, and whoever does an atom weight of atom's weight of evil shall also see the result. So let us try. These verses of the Quran are calling us towards making effort, towards hastening up, especially towards the things of the hereafter. Now here's another one that is even, you know, the one of Sayu, that is your own personal effort. But there's this one that talks about competition, competing, and that is like when you race, actually, you actually run. Allah says, Quran chapter 57, verse 21, about race. Allah says, "Sabiqu ila magfiratin min rabbikum." Allahu Akbar. Race with one another in hastening towards forgiveness from your Lord. وَجَنَّتِنَ عَرِضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And towards paradise, the width of which is like the width of the heaven and the earth. وَعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This has been prepared and has been put in place for those who believe in Allah. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Those who believe in Allah and His messengers. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the favor of Allah He gives to whoever He wills. Wallahu dhul fadl azim. And Allah is the one with the greatest of all favors, with the greatest of all bounties. When Allah is talking about racing, Allah talk about sabiqu ila magfiratin. You are supposed to compete with each other in seeking Allah's forgiveness. So the essence is, who asks for Allah's forgiveness most? That's what we are saying. We are to compete with each other in seeking Allah's forgiveness and in seeking paradise from Almighty Allah. When you see somebody doing one kind of good deeds, you are supposed to race and see how you can do better than that person. When it comes to charity, you are supposed to race and see how you can outdo that person in giving charity. When it comes to kindness to others, you should outrace other people in who does more kindness to others. You understand what I'm trying to say now? That means we are supposed to race. We are supposed to do competition. That's the istibaqul khair. Allah says, وَلِكُلِّ وِيَّةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِيَّ فَاسْتَبِقُ الْخَيْرَاتِ. To each is a goal to which Allah turns him, then strive together as in a race. Istabiqul khayrat. Race with one another. Allah Akbar. In goodness. So, understand very well, another way through which we do the movement in this world is when we race, when we run, when we compete in goodness. And this is very essential. Competition in life should come through the goodness that we do. Let us see how we can outdo each other in goodness, in kindness, and all forms of bringing progress to humanity, bringing succor to those who are sad, bringing relief to those who are burdened, and bringing, you know, happiness to those that are grieving. For whatever thing we do, let us race with each other. Now, you see, the Quran uses this word race for us to understand that it's a part of movement. It's a kind of movement, but this time around, you want to outdo each other in goodness. There's another kind of race. We are supposed to race from the sin of sins. Just like it happened in the case of Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, in Quran chapter 12, verses 25 to 27. Allah says, وَرَوْدَتْهُ أَلَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِي وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ قَالَ مَعَاذُ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنُ مَثْوَايَ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah says, وَرَوْدَتْهُ, the person who was in the house was already seeking how they can have something together. And he said, "Haytha Allah, you are free to do whatever you want to do with me now." And he said, "Well, I seek refuge in Allah from this kind of mishap." But the part I want to use there is, "Wastaba koli baba, wakodat komi sahu min duburin, walfaya sayyidaha ladal bab, kolat ma jazau ma aroda bi ahlika su'an illa an yusjana aw adhabun alimun." She chased him to the door and grabbed him from behind and tore off his shirt. And suddenly, they were face to face with her husband, looking accusingly at Joseph, as Yusuf, and she asked her husband, what punishment is most fitting for those who have evil desires towards your household other than imprisonment or painful torment? Let me summarize that story for you. Of course, you will read it up in Quran chapter 12, verses 25 to 27. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam saw what was going to happen, so he ran. He actually raced, and he was racing with this woman as to who would catch each other first. This woman was pursuing him, and he was racing. He was running. In other words, when it comes to matters of sin and sinfulness, don't just sit down there and be looking up. Sometimes you have to run from the sin of sins. Sometimes you have to run away physically from situations that are sinful. So I need you to think very deeply about what Yusuf did here. He did not just sit back and saying, I was to be lying, Shaitan regime. He was not just praying, oh Allah, protect me from this woman. Oh Allah, save me from committing this zina, committing this sin. Sometimes, or more, you have to run. Either as a man or as a woman, you may have to actually run physically from the sins of sin so that you don't get caught up. Sometimes things of Shaitan, you don't just sit back and say Allah will protect you. You may have to run away from wherever Shaitan can catch up with you. Shaitan may not come like some ugly creature with horns the way we see it in pictures, but Shaitan may come in form of beautiful woman, may come in form of handsome man that want to lure you towards evil. Shaitan might come in form of very juicy contract, whereas it is haram. Shaitan may come in form of very nice, lucrative business, whereas this business is haram. Shaitan may present itself in form of very nice opportunities, whereas these opportunities are haram. Opportunities to do what is harmful, opportunity to cheat other people, opportunity to betray the trust given to you, opportunity to cheat on other people in order to survive, in order to thrive, in order to get rich. Shaitan may bring any opportunity of this. What are you supposed to do? Like we normally see on social media, run. What are you supposed to do? Run. Don't stay and don't wait for what is haram. So this is a kind of movement, but the Quran is saying run. When you see something that's going to lead you to hellfire, you better run. This is very important for us to understand. No matter how bad the situation is, there are certain instances where you don't just walk away, or more, you just got to run away. That's what that verse is saying. May Allah make it easy for us to do what is best for us in this regard. So try your best. Run towards what is good. Allah talks about some people, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَّةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. There are those who give their charity, and they give and also do other good deeds. They give with their hearts full of fear of Almighty Allah, whether their alms and charities will be accepted or not, because they are sure to return to their Lord for reckoning. And these are the people who hasten to good deeds, and they outstrip others in that. That means they outrace other people in good deeds. Ulaika yusari'una fil khayrat. These are the people who do race in doing good deeds. Let's take note of this. Race in doing good deeds and try to outrun other people in good deed. Let me mention another movement in the Quran that is similar to this. That is sara'a. That is sinu, ra'un, and a'in. It also means to hasten. And you see example of that in Quran chapter 3, verse 114. Allah say, wa yusari'una fil khayrat wa ulaika minas salihin. Running towards good deeds. You see that in some other verse of Quran. Allah say, wasari'u ila maghfirati min rabbikum. Quran chapter 3, verse 133. Race and hasten towards seeking forgiveness of your Lord. And like I mentioned earlier on, you are now beginning to see that when Allah is talking about matters of hereafter, Allah doesn't say just keep walking casually. Allah will say race, that is make, as in do sharp, do kia when it comes to matters of the hereafter, because you don't know how long you are going to stay in this world. Matters of walking towards the hereafter is not something you do and you are procrastinating and you are delaying that, okay, I'll do it later, I'll do it tomorrow or next tomorrow. Don't procrastinate. Make haste in doing matters of the hereafter. Allah also mentioned fara'a. That is farara. That's farra. And that means to flee. You know, this one is like istibak. That is, you race with each other. But here, let's talking about flee. You see that in Quran chapter 51, verse 50, where Allah says, "Fafirru ilallah, inni lakum minhu nadhirun mubin." Flee unto Allah. Why do you know you need to run to Allah? Because something is pursuing you. Shaitan is pursuing you. And when you are under the pursuit of shaitan, when you are under the pursuit of temptation, when you are under the pursuit of poverty, when you are under the pursuit of depression, when you are under the pursuit of problems of life, when you are under the pursuit of challenges of life, when you are under the pursuit of wanting to be successful, Allah says, "Fafirru ilallah." When enemies are pursuing you, you should run towards Almighty Allah. Don't run towards shirk. Don't run towards human beings. If not, they will disappoint you. So Allah says, "Fafirru ilallah." Run towards Almighty Allah. If you can do this, then you are going to be successful in life. So Allah used the word farrora, that is fafirru ilallah. Run towards Almighty Allah. Unfortunately, some people run away from Allah because they are looking for things of this dunya. And this is what happened in the time of Noah alayhi salatu wasalam. When Noah said, according to Quran chapter 71 verse 6, "Qala rabbi inni da'awtu qawmi laylan wa nahar." Oh Allah, I've called my people, I've been preaching to them day and night. "Falam yazidum du'ai ila firara." But my calling didn't benefit them in anything except that they keep flying away, they keep running away from the truth. So when people run away from the truth, you see that they keep farther away from Almighty Allah. Allahu Akbar. And I'm surprised too that people run away from admonition nowadays. If you want to start lecture or anything, people just run, like people do ta'lim in the masjid. Once the imam says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim," wants to start ta'lim with Tumagrib and Isha, people will just be running out of the mosque as if they are the shaitan that the imam is talking about. So let us keep away from all of these things. I remember a day when we are going to actually be running away from our families. Quran chapter 80, verses 34 to 36. You run away from your father, from your brother, from your mother. You run away from your wife and children. Every day, that day, everybody will have what is sufficient for them. That day when we are actually going to run is coming. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we must only run towards Almighty Allah. May Allah make it easy for us to run towards Him in every aspect of our lives, especially in our times of need. And the Quran says, anybody who should walk towards me, I'm going to, run towards him. And anybody who should run towards me, I'm going to be there for that person. Take note of that hadith of the Prophet. Another one word about movement in the Quran is sair. That is sinun, yaun, and raun. That is to travel. Yes, what do you mean by to travel? Sometimes you may have to travel. You may have to move from where you are. And sometimes some traveling will bring all the goodness you ever wanted in life. Look at the traveling of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Quran chapter 28 verse 29. Allah says, "Falamma qada Musa al-ajal wa sara bi ahli anas min janibi turi naran qala li ahli imkuthu inni anastu naran la'alli atikum minha bi khabarin aw jadwati minan nar la'allakum tastalun." And when Musa had completed the term and he was traveling with his family, he perceived from the direction of the mount a fire, and he said to his family, "Stay here. Indeed, I have perceived a fire. Perhaps I'll bring you from there some information or burning wood from the fire that you may warm yourselves with." I want to bring out something very, very interesting here. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was not given a mission when he was with Anabi Shu'aib. He was not given a mission when he was in the palace of Fir'aun. He was not given a mission when he was at home in the place of his comfort. But Allah called him towards a mission when he began a journey. For some of us in life, we need to travel before we can achieve the purpose of our lives. When Musa traveled thusly, Allah called him at a point. Allah used fire and light to attract him. That is Nar and Nur to attract him. And he said to his family, "Tarry ye here, wait for me here. Let me go and get that fire. Or let me go and get some light. Or the fire with which we are going to warm ourselves. And the light with which we are going to find our ways, because it was getting dark." I want to put it to all of us out there right now that sometimes what can make you to be successful in life when you are going to meet Allah's own favor in giving you the purpose in life may not only come until after you have traveled. You may need to move away from your environment. Many people are in the city now because they had to travel from their villages and they moved to the city. It's in the city that they found the goodness in life they are looking for. Some people, very interestingly, may have to travel away from the city and travel to the rural areas or the villages where they can actually find and achieve the purpose for which Allah has created them. Don't stay in one place. Don't get stuck in one spot. This verse of the Quran is talking about siru, that is travel. You see that in Quran chapter 3, verse 137. Allah says, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنٌ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Many similar ways were faced by people, believers, unbelievers in life. This was a verse that was revealed after the Battle of Uhud. Allah says, Fasiru fil ard, travel on the earth. Don't stay on one spot. Don't stay in one place. Travel on the earth so that you can see what was the end of those who disbelieved in Allah. You can see what was the end of people that have existed before you. And another place, Allah says, "Kul siru fil ard, summa zuru kayfa kana aqibatul mukadhibin." See what ends those people who were beliers of Allah's truth, those who belies the truth of Almighty Allah. You see in Quran chapter 22, verse 46, Allah says, "Afalam yasiru fil ard." This is a very big challenge. Have you not traveled through the land? Fatakuna lahum kulubun yaqiluna biha, so that their hearts and minds may gain wisdom. أَوْ أَذَانُ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا and so that their ears may learn to hear. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Truly, it is not their eyes that are blind, but their hearts which are in their chest that are blind. What does this mean? Travel on the earth so that you can gain wisdom. Don't be a frog in the well. Don't be like a goldfish that is inside a goldfish tank and thinks that is the extent of the ocean. Don't be like a small bird in a small cage that thinks flying around is a waste of time. Don't be like the fish that was born in a pond and thinks that is the way the whole ocean is. In other words, movement embodies the ability and the determination to move, to explore, and to chart one's own course in the face of life's constraints and limitations. And furthermore, movement serves as means of connection. Because you move both your mind and your body, you are able to connect to yourself as a human being with your own personal identity. You are also able to connect to other people. You are also able to connect to the world at large. So through movement, we humans, we engage with our environment, we forge relationships, and we create significance in our world. If we don't move with our minds and our bodies, will be disconnected from the rest of creation. When you socialize, when you move around, when you talk to people, when you visit people, you visit people and you are also visited. And that is the way through which we connect with the world and the way through we connect with our environment. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
In a world filled with chaos and uncertainty, find peace, guidance, inspiration, and wisdom with Abdel Fattah Adeyemi's official app. Download the Abdel Fattah Adeyemi app now and start your journey to a more meaningful, purpose-driven life. Available for free on the App Store and Google Play. Join the community. Transform your life. Edit your universe.